Willingness, Tradition 3, Faith Workshop. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to make decisions on that. Could we please have the reading of We Do Recover with Fodi?
Hi, everybody. I'm Scott. I'm an addict.
Hey, Scott.
We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on the best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, not spiritual, religious, or spiritual, not religious program, I'm sorry, known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you. I would like to introduce our first speaker, Kara, from I don't know where.
Butler.
Butler.
I'm an act named Kara.
Okay.
I have to be honest, I'm really confused right now. I don't know. I was told step 3, tradition 3, and now I guess I'm just a tradition. I don't know. I really have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing right now. So, whatever, I showed up. I was on time. I guess that counts for something. Whatever. I don't know. I'll just start, a little bit kind of about myself. My clean date's October 1st, 2004. So, God willing, here in a little bit. What was that, 5 years? Yeah. I try not to, look ahead into things or whatever, because I'm really only promised today, and I really believe in my heart that I am just as close as picking up the next one as someone that just got a 24-hour key tag. It could be them or myself. So, because I like to do, if you have, 2 years or 1 year and 10 months, I want to be, almost two, and so I just pretty much state my clean date, and that'll be my next anniversary, God willing. I don't know. When I came into this program, which was December of 2001, I really didn't. I just kind of thought I had a problem with heroin. I didn't really think I was an addict. Once I kind of realized I was an addict, at that point I just didn't care, It was almost like a badge of honor, and that was the life I was going to live and the way I was going to die, and it was what it was and whatever. But, there was a lot of people throughout my in and outs, that doubted me wanting to stay clean. And I'll never forget basically what happened was that obviously I relapsed again and blah, 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 and I was in this relationship. And we were in love. When we met, I had 33 days clean and he had 92, and why weren't we healthy enough for each other? Because we absolutely were. And I got pregnant within 2 months, because that's what happens when it rains, it retreats, And he ended up, when I found out that I was having twins, he did what any typical addict would do. He went and got high. It was bad enough that, one, he barely knew me, and he thought we were going to have one kid, and now we're having two. And he's like, fuck, I'll never get rid of this lady. And he went and got high, and a month later, it was September 22nd of 2003, I lost both boys. I had twin boys. And I miscarried and lost both of them. And from that point on, I pretty much really hated Narcotics Anonymous. I blamed it. I thought, here are these women out smoking crack, shooting dope, and having healthy babies. And I was clean for the first time, really clean, no marijuana, no alcohol, no, Ativan prescribed to me, but I'm an addict, so I need to take 4. None of that. Really clean, and I lost those babies. And I thought, like it was such an injustice, and I blame Narcotics Anonymous and my higher power for that. And so, of course, obviously he got high, and then I stayed clean, then I miscarried, and then we got high together. And he got clean in May of 2004, and I continued to use. I decided I didn't have a problem with alcohol. I love that beginning statement about, you know, the crust addicted, and, you know what I mean? Like, I was just an addict. I was not an alcohol, you know, it didn't include alcohol, and so I tried, like, this alcohol bit, and, alcohol withdrawal is gross. Like, I don't remember heroin ever making me poop myself, and, it was really bad, but, I don't exactly remember my clean date. It was actually sometime in the end of September, but I couldn't remember the days. And my sponsor, the first meeting I went to was October 1st, and my sponsor said, pick a clean date, and I said, how about today? And that was it. And I remember my husband's, he wasn't my husband at the time, that junkie boyfriend that I had, his sponsor came up to me and was like, oh, if you stay clean, it'll get better beyond your wildest dreams and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, whatever, you know. I really only did it because, you know, the boyfriend was going to, quote, unquote, throw me out, whatever. And I didn't have a job, and he paid all the bills and whatever. And I figured, like, he never stays clean anyway, so I just have to, like, pretend to do this N.A. bit, you know, for a hot minute, and then he'll get high and I can go with him. And that was kind of my intention. So that was October. December 14th, which is my birthday, my girlfriend bought me an EPT test, and sure enough, it lit up like the 4th of July. And there I was, knocked off again. So, I don't know, I kind of thought, like, well, I might as well give recovery a shot, and I know that's, you know, a real shitty way, but that's my desire. You know what I mean? That was all I could give at that point in time. And that's just the honest truth. And, something in there clicked in me, some fire along the way, where I thought, I really want this. Like, I really want to change. I don't want to be that same person. And there was so much that went on, you know, throughout that pregnancy. But I remember there were people in here that said, well, at least she'll be clean for 9 months. Well, that's not a guarantee. Pregnancy doesn't cure addiction. You know, where they would put us all in rehab and you could get me pregnant, right? And then I would stay clean and that would be great and we could save each other, you know? But no, they like keep us apart and you can't even like make out, you know? Like how gay is that? But whatever. So, because obviously it doesn't keep people clean. Like pregnancy, children, life, jobs, it doesn't keep people clean. It just doesn't work. And it really hurt my feelings, you know? And so I basically decided that I was going to show people that I could stay clean instead of talking about it. And, like, it's so silly, but, like, when people say, like, anyone with multiple years and people go, working, whatever. Like, I don't even do that. Like, I've never said that because I believe in walking it versus talking about it. And that's just for me, and it's kind of a karma thing, too. Like, I never said it to begin with, so I don't want to say it now or I feel like I'll get high because I'm weird like that, like, I don't pick up key tags, like, a day early. Like, that's bad karma to me. Like, if you, like, I don't take other people's key tags. Like, I feel like if they get high, then I will, too. And I know that's, like, so stupid, but I'm serious. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just weird like that. But, you know, my desire really was judged. And the thing was is that, like, I'm an addict because I say I'm an addict, and I'm a member because I say I'm a member. And you really couldn't tell by looking at me how bad I wanted to stay clean. And I remember people saying, like, oh, my God, you know, she works out of that step working God. And, you know, no one that works out of that step working God ever stays clean, you know, blah, blah. Because they work out the text, and they do this, and they do, like, you can't, you know, that tradition tells me I can't judge you off that. I can't judge the program that you work, who's your sponsor, the life that you live. Because desire is an emotion, and I can't see that. I can't see that side of people. And I know this much is that if you come to an NA meeting, regardless what state you're in, there's obviously a fire in your heart. Like, I came to NA meetings high, and I was actually telling someone, I was like, where the fuck is Hooversville? What is this Laurel Mountain High? I've never even heard of this retreat and all this other stuff. And I pulled up, and I'm like, holy shit, I was here in 2002, and I was blasted, and I was, like, out there, like, trying to talk to people on the little basketball court and whatever, like, making an ass out of myself. And I went to Relationships in Recovery. Someone dragged me down there. And, oh, my gosh, what's his name? Mitch. And I'll break anonymity. I don't care. But anyway, these two people spoke. They're absolutely hysterical. Because, like, she was all, like, talking about relationship and the intimate side. And then he came up, and the first thing he said was, all you guys know you want to hear about is hardcore fucking. And then he made, like, these blue gestures, and I just lost it. And I thought that was so funny, and I was so wasted. And I don't know. And then I remembered, like, oh, I've been here before, you know. I had no clue. And I had a desire then, and I came high, you know. I love when people say, you know, oh, that person's getting 30 days, and they don't have 30 days clean. Like, that drives me nuts for two reasons. One, because is a 25-cent key tag really worth someone's life? Like, it says, no addict seeking recovery need ever die. That's what it says. Not someone has to die so we can make it. I don't know where the fuck that came from, because it doesn't say it anywhere. It says, no addict seeking recovery need ever die. And that 24-cent key tag means something to them. Them thinking they have us fooled means something to them. They're coming here, they're hearing a message, they're getting that help, and they have the desire. Leave them alone. Hug them. Tell them to keep coming back. There's this guy in Butler, comes reeking of freaking liquor like 2 weeks ago. You know, he stood up and got his ear. So what? You know, and this is where I have faith in, like, a higher power, because things work out, right? One, in general, if they sponsor people, those people they sponsor don't wind up getting high. They wind up getting a new sponsor. Two, they usually don't end up speaking, and if they do, who really cares? You know, are they hurting anyone, really, by going up there and faking it and speaking it? They have that desire. They just don't know how to do it. And that's exactly how I was. I had no clue that I couldn't go to a bar and still come to meetings and pick up key tags. I did not comprehend that. And once I knew it was wrong, I didn't understand why it was wrong. And once I understood why it was wrong, I found every reason why it was right. But I still wanted to be clean. And if it weren't for that tradition, you all could have made me leave. The only thing you asked me to do is leave my shit outside. That's it. And even if I don't do that, you're not going to kick me out. I've never heard of that happening. I know people come into meetings and they're like, dude, come on, you know what I mean? Like, we know what's in their pocket. What are we going to do, strip search them? You know what I mean? Like, dude, give me your dope or I'm calling the cops. You know, like, what are we really going to do? Because they have a desire. I don't know about you, but, like, when I was in the core, hardcore of my disease and my addiction, before I knew about Narcotics Anonymous at all, I never would have gone to an AA meeting. I never would have gone. It wasn't until I knew the program, and I had the desire, and I wanted to be clean, and I knew about this way of life, I just didn't know how to get it, that I would come high, and I would come loaded. And I would pick up six. I remember I picked up a 9-month key tag, and everyone knew I was getting high, right? Because we can smell it a mile away. So I picked up my 9-month key tag and blah, 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 blah. And then I started thinking to myself, oh, shit, in 3 months I'm going to have this fake year, and they're going to want me to speak. And I can't do that, you know, so I'll have to, like, really get high and then come back. And there was this girl at the time that just drove me absolutely nuts. She was... Because I tried to get recovery through sexual transmission, and that didn't work. Like, I dated someone with clean time. I didn't get it. And the first girl he wound up dating after me, you know, of course, like, I want to hate her, and I want to, like, kill her, and all sorts of stuff. So we were at a meeting, and I decided, like, okay, I'm going to start sharing about how I want to get high. Like, this was all in my mind, and then I'm going to go do it. Well, I was sharing about it, and there was this part of me for 1 second where I really believed, like, my higher power came in, and I was starting to tell on myself about how I never really had the time. And someone's kid walked in, and I was like, get out of here! You know, I, like, yelled at their kid, and she flipped at me. She threw coffee at me. I chucked a chair at her. I was like, it was on. You know what I mean? Like, it was on. Like, I was not pissing around with this girl, you know? And I had the desire at that time, too, you know. But my whole point was they let me pick up that key tag, you know. And even though my plot really didn't involve chucking a chair at her, it felt good, you know. And I finally lived that down. Like, there's finally very few people that remember Kara throwing a chair at someone at a meeting. So that's a good thing, you know, that I've kind of outlived that. But, you know, I went and got high because I really didn't think I could get honest and keep coming. Like, I always... I had this picture in my mind about recovery, and it was like, you stay clean or whatever, and then I would do my slip-ups. And then I thought to myself, I have to really now go and get high in order to wipe that slate clean. And that was really because I didn't know how to get honest. That was like a lack of being able to be honest. And once I kind of finally figured that out, recovery's been a lot easier. Like, I can tell myself today and, you know, and stay here, and you can judge me if you want, that's fine. But you can't judge my desire, and I'm still here. And people never thought I would make it this far in work steps. And that's fine, too, you know. I've done so much stuff clean, and, like, it's a miracle that I've stayed clean. My girlfriend and I always play this game about the things we did clean, you know, like to see who could outdo who. And I'll tell you what, I got this girl beat. Like, stealing treasury money clean to buy a pair of flip-flops. I did that clean. Paid back the money with $103.50. but I thought, in my mind, my justification was, what fucking idiots to hand me the treasury book for 30 days clean. They deserve to have their money stolen. You know what I mean? And I remember being like, I got the traditions to back me, man. You can't arrest me. There's no cops involved. And that was my, like, spin on it. But I did. You know, I stole treasury money clean. This is a classy one, too. I love telling these stories. They're so great. The treasury money, threw the chair at the girl. Then I got high after that one, so I guess it really doesn't count. There's so many things. Oh, this is great. I was working for WIC at the time, right? And I had my daughter in the backseat of the car. She was like 2 at the time, and I was pregnant with my son. And she cut me off. And then she slammed on her brakes. Or no, I cut her off, and then, like, we were coming in this construction zone. I slowed down. She, like, rear-ended my car. I was like, oh, no, she didn't. And so I was, like, telling her to pull over. She won't pull over. And then she, like, flew past me and was, like, motherfucking me out the window. And I thought, that bitch, I have a kid in the car. So I did what any addict would do. I chased her down, right? And we're, like, flying through Butler and everything else. And she tried to hide behind this restaurant or whatever. And I freaking throw my car in park. And I get out, and I'm, like, banging on her window. And I was like, get out the car. And I'm pregnant. I got a kid in the car, by the way. But I'm pissed. Because she flipped me off with my kid in the car. That was my whole reason for acting like a maniac. And so she was on her cell phone with, like, these big old nails, and she's talking and blah, blah, blah. And she rolled down her window to say something smart, and I just cold cocked her right in the face. Got back in my car, in my scrubs, my uniform, with my kid in the car, pregnant, you know, and I just punched her. And I was telling my husband, I'm like, this girl rear-ended me, and there's, like, this little scuff in my bumper. He's like, call the cops. I'm like, I'm not calling the cops. And he was, like, hounding me to call the cops. And 4 days later, I finally told him that I punched her right in the face and, like, messed her world up a little bit. And he was so pissed. But I didn't get high. I got all I did about my sponsor. Like, that would have been so easy for me to get high behind that stuff. And I don't have to take anything today. And that's really cool to me. Like, that's the miracle about this. And even if I get high tomorrow, which I may, I don't know. I don't plan to, but you never know what happens, you know? Like, I still, my desire doesn't change. Like, when people relapse and they say, this is my other favorite one, like, I didn't lose nothing but my clean days. Well, I lost everything. That's for me. But I didn't lose that desire, that fire that I had at one point in time. I had that all along. I just didn't know how to live it. And I don't know. I'm going to let her speak. I'm so hopped up. I've been up since 5 a.m. this morning. And I just graduated nursing school, too. So, thank God. I know. Who would have thought, you know? If you get fucked up, now I'm going to save your life. That's, you know what I mean? Like, that's fucked up. But, you know, for real. For real. Can you picture that? Like, there I was, 98 pounds, pumping everything that walked in the door, trying to get a day clean, you know, drinking after the meetings and shit. And, like, not only, like, am I clean, but, like, I managed to start something and complete it. It's not about the career I chose. It's not about the pay or the job or anything else. It's the fact that I started and completed something for the first time in my entire life, you know, as a direct result of this program. And when he called me to speak, I'm like, cool, I'll be done with school. And honestly, I wanted to sleep in today. I've not slept in forever, you know, but I was up at 5 anyway, you know, that body alarm. I got to train it to let me sleep in a little bit. But I don't know. It's so cool to be here, and I remember this place, and that's a miracle, right? I remember leaving here, too. Jimbo was the main speaker. Everybody knows Jimbo. Jimbo was the main speaker, and it was, like, down there or whatever. And I was so freaking loaded, and the girl I was with was, like, hit the front row, and I was like, oh, you know what I mean? It was great. It's great. I puked the whole way home. So much fun. You know what I mean? So much fun. Glad I came that year, you know? But I did. I heard some cool things, and I remember those things. That's the cool part about it. You know, I was loaded. Everyone knew I was loaded here. No one made me leave. And I heard something that really has helped me today in my life because I remember those, you know, those little phrases and those little things that people said. So, I don't know. Go for it, girlfriend. That's all.
I'd like to introduce Laurie from the Arnold Group.
I'm Laurie Manatic.
Hey, Laurie.
And my claim date 8807. Let's see. My internal alarm didn't go off this morning. I set my real alarm for 5:30 and woke up at 7 o'clock instead. So, as I was speeding on the way here by myself because I didn't have time to go pick up the person that was supposed to come with me, which she slept into. I'm like having a heart attack trying to call a whole bunch of different people. No one's answering the phone, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, because I've never spoken at a retreat or anything like that before. And I'm like nervous as hell. And one of the people I called is actually here. And I'm like, thank God, you know, he showed up anyways. And I was trying to read the basic text and drive at the same time on my way here, so it wasn't working out real well, so I just sat it down. But, like, in the beginning, I did get some of it, you know, in the beginning of the third step, I've read it a million times, but every time I read it, you know, I see something different. It talks about how we gave our will and our life over to our disease, you know, before we came into Narcotics Anonymous, and so I was like, okay, I can tell a little bit of my story then, you know. And so, like, I remember waking up, like, by the time I was 18, I was using every day, and I couldn't stop, you know. And, like, that's where it transitioned from, you know, it was fun, and I liked getting high, to the point where I couldn't not get high anymore. And so, like, I'd wake up, and I remember getting on planes to go on vacation and stuff like that, and taking heroin with me on a plane. You know what I mean? Like, I should be sitting in prison, you know, for the rest of my life right now. Because that's a federal offense, you know? But I'm not. And for some reason, like, everything that I did, I never got caught. And I'm not sure why, but, I kind of think that, like, in a way, like, God brings us to this program, and the program brings us back to God. And, like, after I did my first step and I realized that I was powerless, you know, and I'm like, oh, shit, what do I do? And then the second step, you know, gives me that belief in the program Narcotics Anonymous and in the people in Narcotics Anonymous. And so then once I have that belief, I have to trust the belief, and I believe that's where the third step comes in, like actually turning my will and my life over to that power greater than myself that I found in the second step. I was talking to someone yesterday. I'm like, I really don't want to speak on the third step because someone that was in my life whenever I was on my third step that helped me tremendously ended up passing away in February. And so every time I've given a lead since then and I talk about the steps and I cry every time. And it's the truth about how this disease works. You know, she had more time than me. And she knew this program. She had been coming in and out of this program for 20 years and relapsed and ended up dying as a result of it. And it hurts to know that she had so much to offer this world and it was taken away. But she was there and she helped me. And because when I came into Narcotics Anonymous and I heard God, I was scared. It scared the crap out of me because of the belief system that I had growing up and the things that I had heard and twisted and turned. You know, I had that I'm going to hell because I'm gay and all that stuff. And that's honestly what I believed, and it scared me to even think about God or talk about God. But I still prayed because I didn't know what else to do. So she had, and like, because the second step, I kind of just used the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous and said, I'll worry about the God thing later. And so once I did get to my third step, I was like, okay, now it's time for me to figure out what I'm really turning my life over to. And the woman that helped me, she had this really weird, like, faith, and, like, it wasn't any kind of, like, Christian. It was real off the wall. And I was like, wow, you know, if she can believe in something like that, then I can believe whatever I want. And that's one of the things that really helped me. Also, my grand sponsor, when I was on my third step, was going through chemotherapy. And I actually wrote my entire third step while I was sitting in the room with her while she was getting chemotherapy. And she talked me through it. Like, any questions I had, she was there, right there to answer my questions. And I was able to write my entire third step. And I don't know if, like, if she wouldn't have been going to chemo and, you know, and if I wouldn't have been able to take her, I would have never been able to write my third step the way I did, with in depth the way I did. And that's just kind of my belief that everything happens the way it's supposed to. And that builds my trust in my higher power, like seeing the way things just work out. There's just so many things that have happened since I've come into recovery. That just build my faith and trust more and more in my higher power. Because I make that decision every morning, I was kidding around. I was like, yeah, I'm going to come there. It's going to be 9 o'clock in the morning, so I'm going to get up there. No one's going to be there. And I'll be like, okay, I rolled out of bed this morning, did the third step prayer, and that's all I have to say. And and I kept thinking that on the way up here. I'm like, God, I hope that doesn't really happen, you know. I don't know, like I do. I wake up every morning and I do that third step prayer. The first introduction I had to the third step prayer, which is God take my will in my life, God remember my recovery and show me how to live. And I remember going, I had about 30 days clean, and I went to a meeting and I didn't know how to pray. And I was too afraid to ask anybody. You know, I just kept saying, God help me, you know what I mean? But and I saw a poster on the wall. It had the third step prayer on it, and I read it. And I kind of memorized it, and I was like, okay, I can do that, you know? And I started praying the third step prayer then. I didn't know it was the third step prayer, you know? I didn't know any of that. I just knew it was a prayer, and it fit what I needed. And so I did that, and still, you know, still today, I didn't get on my knees this morning because I was running out the door, so I was kind of running out the door praying it, you know what I mean? But I still say that prayer every morning because it holds true. The will that I had was getting high, you know, that's the only thing I knew. And today it's so much different. Like, I don't know, like I have like some things that have built my trust in the program in Narcotics Anonymous. I had a sponsor, I just switched sponsors not that long ago, and It was real weird. Like the relationship that it had turned into was not real good anymore. And there was arguing, and like I was too afraid to switch sponsors. I had never done that before. This was the only sponsor I ever had. Whenever, you know, I thought that was the only sponsor I was ever gonna have to have. And when we started arguing all the time, and I was unable to follow her direction anymore because we had different opinions and views, and it was an argument all the time. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself, and I was told to move on instead of me actually having to move on my own. And it hurt, and I wasn't sure what to do, but all I knew was that you told me, don't go without a sponsor. You know, so I called up someone else, and I was like, can you sponsor me? And they are, and like it's one of the best relationships, you know, I think I've ever had. I understand, you know what I mean, my new sponsor and things like that, and like that builds my trust. Like even if I do mess up, God's still gonna take care of what needs to be taken care of. Just yesterday, like I keep getting off my square here and there because there's a lot of change going on in my life. It's all good change, but I don't know how to handle it. And so yesterday, like the only thing I kept saying, I kept praying. I usually pray all day. Just to keep myself centered, I just kept saying, God, help me. Not only, I wasn't even sure what I wanted God to help me with, I just knew that I wasn't okay. And so like part of that is I have to tell people what's going on with me, which I believe is part of the second step also. I have to tell people what's going on with me, and therefore they can speak to me. You know what I mean? Like, God's not just going to send someone and they're going to know exactly what's going on with me. I have to tell them what's going on with me so that I can get the direction that I need. So, like, yesterday I'm telling people, you know, what's going on with me, and I'm getting direction, and, like, slowly I'm starting to feel a little bit better, you know. And so, actually, God helped me. Like, He answered my prayers right there. And that's, like, the little things of trust that I've come to build up over my time in recovery. I'm in school. I just started school full-time. That's one of the, like, stresses I have going on. Like, I was going part-time, and I was having a hard time working. Like, my job was far away. I wasn't making enough money. So I wasn't making enough money to pay for school and books. And what I'm going for, I kind of need to finish soon because there's a lot of physical aspects to the career that I want to have. So, like, I'm like, okay, what do I do? And I started telling people about it, you know. And someone that had been there before told me, you know what, just quit your job, and, you know, you'll get, your school will be funded for you. And I'm like, okay, I don't believe you, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I did. I quit my job in April, and I did the footwork. I filled out the paperwork. I filled out all the FAFSA and stuff that I needed for school. And July 1st, I went down to the school because there was a problem with my paperwork, and she's like, well, it says on here that you're still employed. I'm like, no, I quit April, whatever, you know, the date. And she's like, oh, well, good thing you quit that day because you had to have, your income had to have changed 2 months prior to July 1st. So, like, it just happened out exactly how it was supposed to. Like, I wouldn't be in school right now, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be paid for, my books wouldn't be paid for if I wouldn't have quit my job exactly when I did. And that's just some of the good orderly direction that I got. The person that had told me to quit my job didn't know that, you know what I mean? My income needed to have changed 2 months before that paperwork needed filled out, stuff like that. But, like, I'm still taken care of. It's still taken care of, and now I'm where I need to be. You know, I'm stressed as hell, I can tell you that much. But, like, but that's a lot to do with the expectations I put on myself. It's not that I can't handle what's going on. It's I want to do better than everybody else because that's where I should be, you know. And so I'm trying to, like, lower my expectations, but there's fear around that because then I'm afraid that, like, I think it's okay to just do okay and not push myself. So, like, I don't know. There's a lot of different aspects of the third step for me. Like, I use it every day of my life. I have to turn my will and my life over every single day. And, like, I don't know if I'm going to wake up and do it tomorrow, but just for today, like, I did. And that means that I don't have to get high today, you know, because I made that decision, you know, to follow God's will and not my own today. And I don't know. I think that has a lot to do with, you know, how we have that decision, like, whether or not to use, like, well, if I decide to do God's will today, He doesn't want me to get high, you know. So I know I'm talking a lot about God and stuff, and that probably, I don't know, that just scared the shit out of me whenever I first came into Narcotics Anonymous. But, like, the nice thing about it is, like I said before, it's the God of my understanding, and it doesn't have to be what anybody else believes is God. I came in and they said, you know, the blank pages in the beginning of the basic text, that's where you can put where, you know, you can write your own higher power. And I was like, oh, thank God, you know, because I don't believe anything. And I used good orderly direction for a while, which I still believe God speaks to me through people. And so that is good orderly direction. But I don't know. Like, I've never been up here either. Like I said, as I was speeding here this morning, I thought I was going to have a heart attack, but thank God I made it, you know. I was afraid I was going to be late, and that's one of the patterns I had in the past. Whenever I was using all the time, I was late for everything, and for the most part, I'm not really too late anymore. I don't know, but, like, thanks, guys, for coming up here. I just want to say that. But I think that's really all I have.
I'd like to thank Spiggers. for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we please have a reading of Just for Today? That's Cody.
I'm Andy. I'm an addict.
Hey, Andy.
Saw yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program I will try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be in my new associations, people who are not using, and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thanks, Andy. What time is it? Well, actually, the workshop goes until 10:15. So if anybody would like to share, we have some time. No takers?
No, the sun dropped.
Well, we have a nice way of closing. Still suffers inside and it's subject to all the levers of concern. God,
grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to tell the difference.
Amen.
Thank you, girls. Thank you, girls.
Oh, you take two. Oh, I was going to say, Daddy, that's your program, yeah?